540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Hope is growing of a hostage release in the Middle East. CBS's Chanel Kalb has our top story.
This morning, there is optimism that a potential deal between Israel and Hamas to free some of the hostages is imminent.
Mr. President, is a hostage deal near?
I believe so.
Yes.
According to Reuters, a Hamas official says a possible agreement would be announced by Qatar, which has been leading negotiations along with U.S. involvement.
Israel's army has expanded ground operations across northern Gaza today, where people have been without electricity or reliable access to food and water for weeks. Thanksgiving travelers are lining up at the airports.
We wanted to go somewhere big, international, and it's our first time in Europe.
Jackie Rosina trying to beat the rush at Miami International on her way to Paris. Tomorrow and Sunday are expected to be the busiest days. Drivers in the Deep South face obstacles this morning after severe storms that downed trees and tore apart homes and buildings, also knocked out power in parts of Mississippi and Louisiana. The forecast calls for the system to move from the southern plains into the northeast. Meteorologist Chris Warren at the Weather Channel.
Most of the worst of the weather happening late Tuesday into early Wednesday morning. By midday Wednesday, things will be improving dramatically. Any snow expected to be in the highest of elevations.
They're upping shipping rates at the post office. USPS says prices of mailing packages will go up by almost 5.5% January 21st. Priority mail by almost 6%. It's considering charging more for post office box rentals and international mail, too. In a statement, the Postal Service points out it has upfront pricing and doesn't add surcharges for Saturday deliveries or fuel. Elon Musk is suing a media watchdog group and its writer over what Musk calls an intentionally deceptive report about anti-Semitism on X. CBS's Jolene Kent.
Musk denies he is anti-Semitic, saying nothing could be further from the truth. Major companies are pulling advertising from his social platform X. Still, the U.S. government remains inextricably tied to the billionaire's other company, SpaceX, with $1.2 billion of federal funding.
A rap star has been ordered to stand trial in L.A. ASAP Rocky faces two felony counts of firing a semi-automatic handgun at another hip-hop artist during an argument. The former friend survived. Rocky shares two children with his girlfriend, Rihanna. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand a tax credits parents use to pay for child care. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed billion-dollar boost to workforce programs and child care. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward says the current Republican maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous.
They're not all made up of one uninterrupted chunk of land, and that is in conflict with the words of the Constitution, which requires the districts to be contiguous.
Mandel was on Upfront on WISN-TV. Lawyers for the map supporters are expected to argue that contiguous has different meanings. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers basketball gets past Virginia. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team advancing to the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament by beating Virginia 65-41 in Florida, a better showing than their performance at home against Robert Morris University. Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn.
You know, coming off that Robert Morris game, you know, we knew we had to fix things fast because we were going to play a great team like Virginia. And we locked in practice Saturday and Sunday. We were able to really lock in defensively, and that showed today.
So the Badgers will face SMU in the final round of the tournament, 7:30 tomorrow night. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with a five-game winning streak last night in Washington. It was the Bucks 142-129 over the Wizards. Adrian Griffin describes Giannis scoring 42 points.
Unstoppable. Man, he was in his rhythm tonight. He's unstoppable.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies. Ice level off around 40. Winds out of the north, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 29. High of 42 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK, UK, 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 UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday, November 21st, and another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening, all across the Civic Media Radio Network, by podcast, social media, the Civic Media app, whatever brings you here today. We appreciate it, and I got a question for you. Are you on the road tomorrow for the biggest travel day of the year? Which leads to this next question. If so, why? I mean, only if you're flying. I am not a fan of the airlines these days. Longtime listeners will know back in March, I got stranded in what started on an island for a winter break. And then we were supposed to go one airport. They diverted us like nearly 1,000 miles away to the other one, and then to another one, you know, another few hundred miles away. Yeah, I'm not an airline fan. I'm going to drive whenever possible. So I'll fly when I have to go to an island next. We'll try to minimize that for at least a little while. Here's what's on tap this morning as we get set for that long and fun weekend of travel and seeing family and friends. It's going to be a history-making day in the state capitol today. Look, nothing is certain, obviously, but oral arguments being presented today before the Wisconsin Supreme Court could put an end to the rigged legislative maps that have allowed one party in a 50-50 state to have up to two-thirds of the Senate and the Assembly for what will basically be about 5,000 days. The bill they just passed in the fall session and that Governor Evers just vetoed shows why voters might soon say, and why the Supreme Court might say, that 5,000 days is probably enough. In our second hour, we'll talk to Robert Craig of Citizen Action about how things could be better in the Badger State if Badger Care could live up to its full potential, especially by adding a public option to give families more choices, because Wisconsin remains one of the very few states that has yet to make affordable health insurance coverage more available through a beefed-up Medicaid system. So we'll talk to Robert Craig about that. We'll visit with Chad Holmes as well to find out what's on his show on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, up on the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app. We'll have the weatherology forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Fuchitsky, and you can be a part of it all as well at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. And we got a really nice text from a listener late yesterday that I hadn't passed along yet, and I'll share that in a second. But first, got to tell you those 6 a.m. temperatures, pretty steady compared to yesterday. It's 35 up here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward is at 33. Park Falls, 29. Wausau, 34. Green Bay is at 38 degrees. Oshkosh, 35. La Crosse, 37. Wisconsin Rapids, 36. Madison, 32.
And in Waukesha, it's 36 degrees, and it's in Waukesha that we find Greg Bach down at the Shaw, W-A-U-K, presenting us with open arms. Breathe in, breathe out. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well today. How are you doing, Pat?
Very good. This was the text that came in from Teresa in the La Crosse area saying, good morning. Listening on my way to work at the best coffee shop in town, Bean Juice. I'm loving the news coverage the station puts out. My parents put me onto it. So first off, way to go, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. Thank you, Teresa. And Teresa, again, very savvy getting that marketing plug in there for the best coffee shop in town, Bean Juice. Although, when you say the best coffee shop in town, you know it's the time of year for that movie with Will Ferrell. And I expect him to come bursting into Bean Juice right now and going, congratulations, you did it! The best coffee in La Crosse.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, I love that movie so much. So many people don't like that movie. It's so weird.
Really? I don't know that I've met anybody that didn't like it.
It's just so sweet and kind and innocent and beautiful. And like, there's no adult wink to it. There's no like, we're getting away with something here. It's just sweet.
Yes, it very much is. And I get, you know, that for many people, there's maybe a Christmas movie that they don't like.
Yeah.
For me, it's A Christmas Story. I've never warmed up to that movie. You know, you'll shoot your eye out with the BB gun one. Yeah. It's just a little too, I don't know, dark or something. It's just not Elf. I like Elf.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Yeah.
So again, congratulations, Bean Juice. Best coffee in town.
And don't eat the gum on the sidewalk. It's not candy.
That's right. I saw a social media post the other day that you know how you see the ones with the years that, you know, how one year compares to the other. And,
yeah.
And this person posted, I just realized I'm 13 years older than Alice from the Brady Bunch was when she started working for the Brady family. And now I got to go lie down for a while, which leads to this question. Where are you when Alice from the Brady Bunch, you know, the one that the guys always use is from the movie Cocoon, Wilford Brimley, who was unnaturally young, as were the members of the cast of Cheers. That's another comparison mark.
Yep.
How old do you think Ann B. Davis, the actress, was playing Alice on the Brady Bunch when that show started in 1969?
I'd say probably late 30s.
Oh, see, now that's okay. I would have guessed a lot older.
Yeah.
And she was 43.
Okay.
All right. This person saw that they were much older than 43, much older than Alice from the Brady Bunch and needed to go lay down for a while. And I've known that feeling. I really have.
I've seen the ones where you're saying, like, if Back to the Future was made today, we'd be going back to 1993.
Yes.
Compact discs.
Yeah. Well, you know, time is a flat circle.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Like a compact disc.
Like so Earth is flat. You get it. You understand. Everyone get it? Pat Kreitlow for a flat Earth, everyone. It's what he believes.
Sorry, I seem to be having a connection problem with Waukesha. We'll get back to Greg Bach in just a little bit. Again, 844-967-2789 if you'd like to take part today. And some of today's discussions as we start unpacking news on this Tuesday at 6:13. This is a landmark day at the Wisconsin State Capitol, quite possibly the beginning of the end of a long chapter that stretches back to the early days of 2011. Let's put it this way. We did the math, and if Republican control of the state legislature were to end after this next election cycle in 2024, it would mean that the GOP controlled the Assembly and the Senate for approximately 5,000 days. And that Republican control could very well stretch beyond that, of course, but if it were to change, it would change under a process that'll get started in another part of the state capitol 2.5 hours from right now, when the Wisconsin Supreme Court, now with a progressive majority, hears the legal challenge to the state's current map of legislative districts. These maps, they are not just skewed. They are gerrymandered, which is a polite way of saying they are rigged. Some of us could see it right away in 2011. Others wanted to wait for an election or two or three or 10 to see what should have been obvious. Wisconsin's electorate, for whatever reason, is quite evenly split
by and large, between Republicans and Democrats. You get the occasional large margin victory, but it's the exception, not the rule. So when you have maps drawn by Republicans in a way that gives Republicans about two-thirds of the seats in the Assembly and Senate, you know a lot of work went into drawing those lines to be just so. Look, it's not that hard, frankly, to draw maps that are skewed one way or the other, but it takes some diabolical use of data to draw maps this far out of whack with the reality of Wisconsin voters. And look, they got away with it. They had a state Supreme Court controlled by conservatives for the entire last decade to back them up. They had a U.S. Supreme Court that stepped in a couple of years ago to back them up. But this year's state Supreme Court election has led us to this new legal challenge that might end with the court having the maps redrawn to better reflect all of us in Wisconsin, the kind of thing we still have a right to expect from our leaders. You know, be as cynical as you want, but some of us still think that voters should get to choose their elected officials instead of elected officials choosing who gets to vote for them. And again, we don't know how all this will play out. In terms of a decision, in terms of a timeline that may or may not affect the 2024 election. But it's a big deal just making it to this point, making oral arguments in front of a court after the voters had years of watching political malpractice and said, it's time for that court to flip. It's no guarantee that the legislature will flip, but at least we might see more genuinely competitive districts. And if the legislature flips, we might see bills that once again reflect what Wisconsinites want. We might see problems getting solved again. We might avoid the kind of thing that just happened when the fall legislative session wrapped up and made official, frankly, what we've known and expected all along, that unless you're a billion-dollar baseball club or a multi-billion-dollar liquor industry, that fall session and that special session were, for the most part, a giant waste of time and taxpayer resources. And in our next segment, we'll get into the bill that Republicans did manage to pass, a bill that has now been vetoed by Governor Evers, providing an example of the arrogance and the hubris that illustrates why gerrymandering is a bad thing for a legislature. First, let's do sports at 6:17. Giannis scored 42 points last night, and the Bucks won their fifth game in a row with a 142-129 win over the Washington Wizards last night in D.C. Their next game will be tomorrow night in Boston versus the Celtics. 6:30 tip-off on News from the Center and Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball team played in the Fort Myers tip-off tournament last night, and they defeated 24th-ranked Virginia, 65-41. So they will next play Wednesday night against SMU, and you should be able to hear that game Wednesday night on locally grown radio out of Wisconsin Rapids. Marquette men's basketball, the number four team in the country, is at the Maui Invitational in Hawaii and defeated UCLA 71-69, thanks to Sean Jones hitting a three-pointer with 38 seconds left. And so Marquette will next play in a semifinal matchup with the top-ranked team in the country, Kansas. That game will be tonight at 9:30, and you'll be able to see that game on ESPN. The Badger women's basketball team, the Marquette women's basketball team, they're also in Fort Myers for a tournament that continues later on this week. As predicted, both the Badger men's hockey team and women's hockey team fell out of the top spots in the national rankings because both teams got swept. Badger men's hockey fell from number one to number six. Badger women's hockey fell from number one to number three. We'll unpack some more of the news in just a sec. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. The Todd Alma Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Shaw, WAUKKK.
The 620 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Steely Dan's album Gaucho came out this day in 1980. We'll have more music history coming up a little bit later on this hour. As mentioned at the Capitol, the fall legislative session wrapped up, as did the special session called by Governor Evers, which was supposed to be a do-over, a chance to get together, talk out some of the very important issues facing Wisconsinites, and maybe find some bipartisan agreement. That didn't happen. The Republicans running the Senate and the Assembly forwarded a bill to Governor Evers, and he vetoed it late yesterday and did not mince words in doing so, because it is a bill that willfully ignored the pleas from parents and providers to address the child care crisis and instead contained tax cuts skewed to the wealthy. It's a bill that ignored pleas from the business community and instead played politics with tax dollars that should be going to our university's job creation engines. Evers called the bill, quote, an unserious proposal that is out of touch with the real challenges and needs facing our state today. As they did back in the spring, Republicans tried instead of doing the things that the governor proposed, instead of trying to find middle ground on those things, they scrapped all of the governor's proposals entirely. And they decided to go for a tax cut, much of which would go to people making around $300,000 a year. In the original attempt in the spring that they tried again this fall, they would cut the state's second highest tax bracket. The incomes in that bracket range from $27,000 to $304,000. That's all one tax bracket. The Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy looked at an identical proposal from Republicans earlier, ran the numbers on it, and found two-thirds of the savings would go to the highest 20% of Wisconsin taxpayers with average incomes of $304,000. Now, as we learned late last week, there was never any intention by Republicans to take those needs seriously, because as first reported by Dan Schaefer at the recombobulation area, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had quietly slipped away and was at a resort in Brazil on the first day of the special session. And that takes us back to the gerrymandering issue. When you have gerrymandered or rigged the maps that much that you can fly off to Rio and gaze at the ocean while the capital corridors are filled with worried parents and short-staffed business owners, well, maybe you shouldn't be surprised that voters changed the direction of the state Supreme Court and maybe the future of those legislative maps. Now, of course, when you're that arrogant about your power, you don't go away quietly. as if you were slipping away to Brazil. Republican lawmakers are still talking openly about trying to impeach newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz. When you think about it, even talking about impeaching a newly elected justice is like giving the voters a big middle finger and saying, you get no voice when we have this much control. But maybe, just maybe, that long run of arrogance has an expiration date, one that needs to be tossed out after about 5,000 days. But that'll be up to the voters to decide, hopefully, with maps that are a bit more fair. Courier Newsroom has several newsletters that you can subscribe to. They include Carolyn Fiddler writing State House Action and Kia Vakil writing about the state impact of national issues. Our friend Mark Jacob has a newsletter that tracks operations in the media and how they're covering such an extreme time in American politics. There's a newsletter that breaks down some of the digital spending that groups and candidates are making online to try to reach voters that way. And again, for all that and more, you can just head over to couriernewsroom.com. The Up North News Daily newsletter, you'd find at upnorthnewswi.com, and we'll be talking to Christina Lorre about that in just a couple of minutes here. Let me pick up on some sports notes where I left off. I was talking about hockey and the Badger teams tumbling down, but the rankings in Division III came out as well. So we wanted to note that UW-River Falls, the women's hockey team, is ranked number 3 in the country. The UW-Eau Claire Blue Golds ranked number 9 for Division III women's hockey. For men's hockey in Division III, Eau Claire is ranked number 7 in the nation, and UW-Stevens Point is ranked at number 9. Of course, the Badger women's volleyball team has that big rematch against Nebraska. That's coming up Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock at the Fieldhouse. The Badgers-Gophers football game is going to be Saturday at 2:30. On TV, it'll be on FS1, but you really want to hear it instead across the Civic Media Radio Network on News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. And if you're trying to keep track of where the Packers have been schedule-wise, well, after 4 weeks in a row of games at noon on Sundays, the schedule is going to get a little messed up here for the next few weeks. First off, it's a short week. The Packers will play again day after tomorrow on Thanksgiving at Detroit. Not a noon start. It's 11:30 is the kickoff for Thanksgiving. Then the team gets 10 days off before a Sunday night game at Lambeau against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Will Taylor Swift make an appearance at Lambeau Field? Probably not. Will we spread rumors like wildfire anyway and speculate about it? Yes. I mean, Greg already is looking on Ticketmaster to try to see if he can put his best Swiftie t-shirt on and maybe get Taylor's attention in the crowd.
I have a plan, Pat. I have a plan.
Now, you see, you don't. It doesn't sound right when you say it that way, when we're talking about a young woman who's coming to visit a football stadium. It's, you know, but hey, if you get to wave to her, then that's a good thing.
Listen, Flat Earther, I don't need this. I don't need this. I just want to show my love and wave. That's all I want to do.
Okay.
Taylor, you mean a lot.
Shake and just shake it off. Okay. So, all right. So where were we? We were Thanksgiving and that followed then a Sunday night game. And then that's followed by a Monday night game, December 11th in New York against the Giants. So, only then will there'll be a couple of more Sunday noon games on December 17th and on Christmas Eve. And yeah, that's where we are right now. We're mapping out all the way through Christmas here a couple of days before Thanksgiving, but wanted to make sure you can follow the Packers as they play. And across the Civic Media Network, that means hearing them on radio from the center in Richland Center. That's WRCO-FM, WRJN AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country WCQM in Park Falls. Now, I'm pretty sure the Badgers are not on the streaming, but I've sent a note to Luke trying to find out if the Badger men's basketball game on some stations, if that's one of those sports that can or can't be heard through the Civic Media app. So, you know, stay tuned. We'll keep you informed on that because, again, it's such a handy thing to have to be able to not just listen to your favorite shows, not only be able to listen to stations all around the state, but maybe follow certain sports events as well. Christina Laurie will tell us more about Up North News coverage from our daily newsletter when we are back again, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. It's nice to have you here on the lake up north for a bit.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The leader of Hamas says a deal is close for a ceasefire with Israel and the release of some of the hostages. They include Udi Goren's cousin.
We all feel, especially when we're talking about our families, that this should be the top priority.
Here in the U.S., the forecast calls for a powerful storm system to move from the southern plains into the northeast this busy Thanksgiving travel week. Meteorologist Chris Warren at the Weather Channel.
That whole system moves through the northeast for the pre-Thanksgiving holiday travel period. It is going to be messy. Gusty winds, also some heavy rain.
Elon Musk is suing the advocacy group Media Matters, claiming it manufactured a report on anti-Semitism to drive advertisers away from his social media platform X. Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin on CNN.
We'll be taking action with colleagues to ask him to renounce those comments and to clean up his act.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The athletic director at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville has died. The university did not provide details Monday, only that Christina Navarro-Krupka was pregnant and her death was unexpected. Navarro-Krupka grew up in Madison and was in her fourth year as director of athletics and assistant chancellor at Platteville. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Luke Berg is with the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty. He says there's an easy fix to claims that non-contiguous districts are unconstitutional.
If you were simply to take the islands and put them in the districts that surround them, it would eliminate the contiguity problem and you wouldn't have any population problems in the existing map.
Berg was on Upfront on WISN-TV. The map's challengers will argue that the way the maps were drawn was unconstitutional. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs level off around 40. Winds out of the north, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 29. High of 42 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
It's time for The Uplift, some of the uplifting and entertaining stories about Wisconsin you'll find in our daily newsletter. Sign up at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Christina Laurie puts it together for us. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Very good, thanks. We're just a couple days away now from Thanksgiving, and do you have a big plan yet?
Yes, luckily I've never hosted, so I just get to be a happy eater and head to my aunt's house just across the border in Illinois.
Okay.
How about you?
To be determined. Usually we go to Sherry's brother and sister-in-law on the farm where she grew up, and she puts together a big old spread for the entire extended family. But we're still working on somebody's work schedule here. So we may get over there. We may be, you know, here at home. And if that's the case, we've had to be on home for holidays in the past, and you make the best of it.
I always like to ask people, what's the most unique thing at your Thanksgiving food-wise?
The most unique thing food-wise?
No, because everyone has the turkey, everyone has the pie, everyone has the potatoes. But here, uniquely Midwestern, and it's actually very Wisconsin. We have this pretzel raspberry jello. It's like the crust is crushed pretzels. The middle is cream cheese and Cool Whip and sugar whipped together. And then the top is a raspberry jello with fresh raspberries suspended in it. Wow. And it's technically called a salad. So, yes. You know.
Yeah, I never understand why these jello things are called salads. I've never understood that. The closest answer I've got, because it is fairly traditional, and it's not even that unique of a thing, but a couple of folks there make a chocolate pie, which is rather, basically, it's putting in a crust, if you ask me. And it to me, it can't hold a candle to French silk pie, which is all, you know, whipped up really rich and things like that. So, you know, that's about as crazy as it gets is the chocolate pie versus French silk. Well, let's get going on stories that we're seeing in the newsletter that you've been working on. And look, there's so many new gifts you can get somebody for the holidays, the latest technology. You know what? Low tech still works. And that would include books, especially the classics. And you have an article about the ones that should be read or even reread.
Yeah, we published a list of 50 classics that probably all of you were assigned to read in high school. I don't know that you would have read all of them. I know I sure didn't. Read a lot of SparkNotes versions of these books. But it's fun to go through and find, you know, I love a good fiction book too, a fast page turner. But sometimes you want to do a little bit of thinking, or you want to read something that is historically relevant, really important, maybe even kind of resurging in popularity as a result of many of these book bans that just continue to be mind-boggling that we're talking about those in 2023. Mm-hmm. But a few things that popped out to me on this list that I actually added to a list of my own. I read this book a long time ago, Maya Angelou's autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Mm-hmm. But I thought that would be definitely worth a revisit, especially after everything that's been happening over the past 4 years. I think that would be good for people to touch back on. Also, I never read the full Moby Dick book, so I'm going to be revisiting that one. It's a major classic, and an interesting fun fact for you. In September of last year, one collector paid a whopping $327,000 to obtain a original 1853 edition of the book. So apparently people really like it. And then one last one that I added to my list is Stephen Crane's The Red Badge of Courage, mm-hmm. which is set in the Civil War. And I thought that would probably it sounded from the description that it had a lot of parallels to things that are still happening today. It's always interesting how history really does repeat itself. But Pat, I have to ask you, what's your favorite book that could be considered a classic?
That's a good question. I think the first thing is, as I was looking back at some of these lists, is that I should read some of these as an adult. Some of the things that I read in middle school or high school, I really got a lot out of them. I read like crazy, but now I have very little memory of some of them and couldn't appreciate some of them. Like, Great Expectations would have been, one of those examples. Red Badge of Courage, I remember really liking it then, but I couldn't tell you anything about it now. So I would most definitely go back to that. So I like the idea of rereading some of these things, and hopefully people will take a look at the list that's been put together here.
I do that myself. I actually, every single year I reread To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm sitting right in front of my bookshelf. It's right behind me. And I reread it every single year, and it's always something new pops out to you as you're at a different part in your life. So I'd encourage anyone. I know like pretty much everyone in the world has read To Kill a Mockingbird by now, but if you haven't read it lately, I'd start with that one.
I'd say read it again. Yeah, there's definitely people who could use that book now more than ever. We've got a story about gas stations getting national recognition here in Wisconsin. Gosh, I wonder who that could be.
Yes. Do you want to throw out? I'll give you three guesses.
Are they Quick Trip, and Quick Trip?
Well, what actually popped out to me on this list, of course, Quick Trip is number one on USA Today's best gas station brand list. Mm-hmm. It landed number one because of its in-store bakery, fresh dairy, and its prices, which are all good. It also ranked highly for clean bathrooms, which is always something I look for. I never want to pull over to a place that could be questionable in that area. But what the big headline here is, number two on that list was another growing Wisconsin brand, Hy-Vee. So those have been slowly popping up more and more across the state. I know they're really prevalent in our western neighbor, Iowa, but those are also a great pick. Their prices are very affordable. Quick Trip is still number one in terms of price affordability here in Wisconsin. And a quick tip, if anyone doesn't already know, download the Gas Buddy app, especially when you're driving on this holiday week. It's a super easy way. Wherever you are, you just enter your zip code and it tells you the closest, cheapest gas station near you, because it's crazy how much they can vary in price, even just being literal blocks from each other. And there's nothing more disappointing than pulling up to a gas station, paying, your $3.40, and then driving an extra block and seeing $3.25.
Uh-huh. Yep, it does come in handy. I can testify for all the road trips that we do. Let's talk about Wisconsin's most iconic food, and this is according to Food Network.
Yes, so it mapped the entire country and picked, they called it the 50 States of Must-Try Food, a defining dish from every state. Now, I want to throw it back to you again. If you had to pick one food for Wisconsin, I'm asking not what you think they picked, but what was your number one food that you most closely associate with Wisconsin?
Well, as I said in a discussion about this last week, I'd come down with the cheese curds because, again, people might think bratwurst, but you can get that almost any place. But cheese curds are almost uniquely Wisconsin, both fresh and squeaky, and then to deep fry them as well. But I'm not sure if that's where Food Network went.
It is. So maybe you could freelance there on the side, Pat, because that's exactly right. And that's their explanation as well. No place does both fresh and freshly fried curds, just like we do. And it's crazy. I mean, I've mentioned this before. As someone who comes from the Chicagoland area, I am very nitpicky when it comes to deep dish pizza. If you're going to have deep dish, I want it to be actually done correctly. So I have yet to find a place here in Wisconsin that actually makes it like they do back home. But that's the same way that most people here in Wisconsin, so now me living here for such a long period of time, I feel about cheese curds at other places. I will never order cheese curds in Illinois. They don't know how to do it. There's something about ours.
It'd be like ordering an old fashioned in Minnesota. Seriously, don't do it. They cannot pull it off.
Well, and like most fried foods, you think that there's no possible way they could screw it up, right? I mean, it's like breaded and dropped in hot oil. What could go wrong? And somehow it does.
Yeah. It does. It does. So stay true to your hometown iconic foods. And if every state in the union had an official meat, now who's putting this kind of a list together?
Well, we would like to call this list the United Steaks of America.
Okay.
And this was compiled just by Slate.com put together this map.
You know what? When you kind of hesitated before Slate, the problem is Slate and Salon both came out at about the same time as these online magazines. Basically, for the longest time, I could not, unless I had it right in front of me, couldn't decide which one it is. So Slate is the one that did this one.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was on the tip of my tongue. I didn't want to. It's like both five letter words start with S. It seems like its own Wordle. But they mapped out if basically what meat is every state known for. And here in Wisconsin, I know that you had just mentioned bratwurst. So maybe you were reading their mind. That was their pick for Wisconsin. And I couldn't agree more. It makes sense because Madison specifically is host to the world's largest brat fest every Memorial Day weekend. We also find every possible way to cook them, which is what editors cited as the reason. You know, they're poached in beer, they're served at football games, they're accompanied by sauerkraut, a nod to our German heritage. There are so many different ways to do this. But it's an interesting list, and there are some unique picks on here.
I was going to ask if you had some of the other states in front of you and what struck you.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned about Utah. Utah is a type of meat that's suspended in Jell-O, and I'm not sure why that is on there. Those are like two things that definitely should not be combined.
And then, so do they call it a salad then, like the ones with the fruit suspended in there?
It was called meat salad, which is
very, this can't very be real.
Bothersome. Yes, it unfortunately is. Some things are ones you'd expect, like New Jersey is capicola, makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Yes.
Missouri is spare ribs. That's what they're known for, obviously. My family down in Illinois would be happy to know we are known for the porterhouse steak, which, you know, we have a lot of steak houses, especially in the Chicago area. And then over in Iowa, have you ever been to a Made Right, Pat?
No, I have not.
It's like a dinery type restaurant, and they are known for loose meat sandwiches, which are basically like hamburgers, but like if you chopped it up like you were going to feed it to a baby and put it back on the sandwich. So I feel like it's kind of the hamburger equivalent to a Sloppy Joe, but just it doesn't have all that meat juice in it. It's delicious, highly recommend, and that's the official meat of Iowa. But it's a fun list since we're heading into such a meat-heavy week here.
Yes, I can already feel the meat coma coming on just thinking about all of that. Christina Laurie, thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Hey, I'm back.
Welcome back. I'm like, what's going on?
No, what's going on? Somebody hit his mute button to cough and then forgot to unmute, which is good because what you missed were the guttural noises I was making about loose meat sandwiches.
Yeah.
And things suspended in Jell-O, especially things that aren't, I mean, fruit is understandable, but there were some other things listed in there. Was it like puppy chow or I forget what all was in there? No. I feel much better about my state now, knowing what I know. I mean, when you have a hot beef sandwich here in Wisconsin, say you go to Ray's on Water Street or you know, here in Eau Claire or wherever, I mean, you're going to get something that was once, you know, a delicious pot roast or something like that, shredded up nicely. A loose meat sandwich is just ground beef. It's just, you know, when you brown it, it's all broken up.
Yeah.
Then you might put taco seasoning in it next, or you might put in, you know, hamburger helper next. But to just put plain ground beef, you know, between some slices of bread and call it a loose meat sandwich, I mean, at least smash it all together and call it a hamburger patty.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just it's also not an app. See, like when you say loose meat, I think of like sliced.
Yeah.
Meat,
yeah.
like a hot roast beef sandwich. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I no.
Not from what our Iowa colleagues tell us. So,
poor Iowa.
Different strokes, yes. All right, we'll be back in a sec to have today's history lesson and some musical memories as well. We have just enough time here coming up for you to refill the coffee cup and then go subscribe to the show as a podcast so you can catch episodes on demand at Apple, Spotify, or civicmedia.us. You're up north. I love you, daddy.
Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Half Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Half Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Half Diamonds, where they want your business.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Greg, yes. Greg, this is one of those days I do wish we had Dr. Lyerly here because you know she'd be belting this one out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The Partridge Family had the number one song this day in 1970. I'm not going to say the title of it, at least for another 7 or 8 seconds till it comes up. It's I Think I Love You.
And when you listen to this song, the opening is dark. Like, it's like minor based, and you're like, where is this song going? Oh, he loves her. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. Oh, yeah, good point. Unfortunately, in an odd, sad coincidence, it was also on this day in 2017 that we lost David Cassidy at the age of 67 to a liver and kidney failure.
Oh, I totally forgot he was gone.
Yes, I know. Then we have some folks with real staying power. Marlo Thomas is 86 years old today. And yes, I checked. Marlo Thomas is still with us. Okay. I think most younger people just now know her from Friends. I believe she was the mother of the Jennifer Aniston character
on Friends. I was just actually talking about her the other day because Bridget and I were at a restaurant and they had a St. Jude's commercial her father's name is on the building.
Yes,
and
Danny Thomas.
Yeah, Danny. I'm like, you imagine a guy like Danny Thomas having all that power and money and authority in Hollywood. And what does he do? He's like, I'm going to start a children's hospital where no one has to pay.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's such a different era.
Yeah.
You know, where people were actually selfless somewhat with their philanthropy.
Yeah.
And, you know, then to have your daughter go on. And I mean, she was in the show That Girl.
Yep.
You know, so she was like the kind of the Jennifer Aniston of her time in terms of sitcoms in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
Married Phil Donahue, and, you know, things have been going well for her ever since. So happy birthday to her. And then there's Goldie Hawn from Laugh-In and all kinds of movies after that. She's 78 today.
Love Laugh-In.
Mm-hmm. Love Laugh-In a lot. Sometimes the reruns are on some of those really obscure little cable channels.
Yeah.
And they don't all hold up, obviously.
No.
But remember the time. It's, you know, you're in the Vietnam War era, the early years of the Nixon presidency, you know, so. But other jokes, you go like, oh, yeah, this is why I love this show so much.
The swinging sexy 60s, baby.
That's right. You know, another sad case of a singer who's not with us any longer would be Olivia Newton-John. She had the number one hit this day in 1981. Let's get sweaty, everybody. You got your leg warmers handy? Do you still have your leg warmers, Greg?
Well, I have, like, I'm on right now. These are my Tuesday leg warmers. Have you ever seen the video for this song, Pat?
Oh, of course.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
Physical was the number one song for 10 weeks, making it the number one, the biggest hit of the year 1981. I'm not sure what Thomas Edison would say about that, but it was on this day in 1877 that he announced his invention of the phonograph, a machine that could record and play sound and music. On this day in 1985, a young lady was born who's now 38 years old today, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, my gosh.
you remember her right away?
I remember her right away, and her being 38, just like, oh, Grandpa remembers Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, so we were old enough to remember Call Me Maybe,
yeah,
which we may or may not torture you with a little bit later on. But first, we're going to play a little Billy Idol, the number one song this day in 1987. Anyway, Billy Idol's Moni Moni replaced Tiffany at number one with her song, I Think We're Alone Now. In other words, yes, both songs were originally done by Tommy James and the Shondells.
Wow.
And all those decades later, they were back-to-back number one hits for different artists.
Tommy Shondell just raking in the cash.
Yes. On this day in 1980, Steely Dan released their album Gaucho, which includes this song Time Out of Mind.
They're so good.
Again, Walter Beckett, somebody else in the music world. Gone a little too soon here.
Yeah, definitely.
I did note that it was on this day in 1992 that Adam Sandler first sang his Thanksgiving song on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And I really did try. I went through the whole thing, but it's still a funny song, but the references are so dated to the early 90s,
yeah,
that there wasn't like, or had maybe a naughty word or two, that there just wasn't something that was, shall we say, radio ready.
Gotcha.
So I'll just say, if you remember Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving song, you should go look it up and give a listen and go, oh, yeah, I forgot all about that cultural reference or that one or that one.
Hey, Pat, I have an important day in history. It's not music history, but it's an important day in history.
Is it an important day in Greg history?
It's an important day in Greg history, and I got a little background music for it, too. Today is the birthday of my mother.
Hey!
Jacqueline Bach.
And she loves the Beatles.
Happy birthday, Mom. I love you very much. You're an amazing mama. And I just want you to know, she's born this day on a date in a year. I don't know if she wants me saying it. So it's her birthday.
That's great.
A big happy birthday to my mom. Happy birthday, Mom. I love you very much.
Happy birthday, Jacqueline. And you should be a proud, proud mom. Hope you have a great birthday. Let's see. This is National Entrepreneurs Day. And you're a bit of an entrepreneur, so I guess
I am.
Happy day to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Happy stuffing day. You like to be stuffed, so happy day to you. It's a gingerbread cookie day. You like to stuff yourself with gingerbread cookies. So,
are you talking to me right now or the audience?
Just you, pal.
It's, okay.
You're an entrepreneur who enjoys stuffing and gingerbread cookies. So you got all that going for you.
All right.
All right. This is also World Television Day. And so this is a little bit more serious of a tone. And in fact, before I mention World Television Day,
yeah,
I should also note that this is the anniversary of the Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy that killed 6 and injured 62 on this day in 2021. Yeah. So again, our thoughts and prayers for good healing go to those folks in Waukesha. Now, for World Television Day, I wanted to share just a few words here from Edward R. Murrow, a pioneer of television journalism. But he could already see in 1958 the direction that television was going in. And so he's the one that gave us the famous lights and wires in a box speech at the Radio and Television News Directors Convention of 1958. And I would urge folks to look it up. Again, there are plenty of dated references in there. That is true. But he also noted that, you know, TV is an instrument that can teach, it can illuminate, yes, it can even inspire, but it can only do so to the extent that humans are determined to use it to those ends, Otherwise, it is nothing but wires and lights in a box. There's a great battle to be fought against ignorance, intolerance, and indifference. The weapon of television could be useful. More in our next hour on Up North News Radio.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.